Okay, my Improve It peeps, welcome to the show. If you are new to the Improve It podcast, I'm Erin Deal. I am your host. I am your friend. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm also the founder of the company Improve It. We're not just a podcast. We are a real life company. We are an improv infused talent development company for the new generation of work. We do improv based soft skill training workshops all over the world. And today you have landed in our little world, this podcast, and I have some tips and some tricks and a lot of laughs for you along the way. Now, if you're an OG Improve It peep, welcome back. You know the deal. I'm Erin Deal. And let's just get into today's show, my friends. So I want to talk about this idea of intention setting this month. This month, we are talking all about momentum and momentum with intention setting. If you're listening when this episode airs, it is January. So the intentions are high, the goals are set. But I don't want to just talk about intention setting at the beginning of a year. I want to talk about intention setting all year, all month, all week long. Because it doesn't have to start when a new year starts. You can set intentions and you can do it without overthinking. And that's why you press play on this podcast, my friends, because we're saying enough. If you resonated with this show title, the overthinking part of this show title, you hit play for a reason. Maybe you're the person who creates 27 color-coded categories for a grocery list. If that is you, I mean, Godspeed, truly, you're my hero. Maybe you're the person who debates every possible angle before sending a single email, or you have a to-do list so long it could double as a novel. If any of that sounds familiar, me too, not the grocery list part, but I definitely took about 15 minutes and had two people look at an email I sent to a client today. So no, you're not alone. But today, my friends, we're saying enough. Enough with the overwhelm, enough with the analysis paralysis, and enough with the self-inflicted mental gymnastics. This episode is all about simplifying your intentions for the year ahead, doing it all year long. And I've got some practical tips and strategies to help you cut through the noise, set meaningful goals, and most importantly, keep them doable. So I want you to grab your coffee. Okay. If it's iced, if it's hot, no judgment. Just put a little almond milk, whatever your favorite creamer is in there. Grab your tea, your sparkling water, whatever fuels your brilliance, my friends. Let's dive in, because overthinking doesn't lead to overachieving. It just keeps you spinning. And this year, we are stepping off that merry-go-round. So let's get to it. Oh, so you know everything we do here has an improv-infused twist. So I'm going to make sure, my friends, that you get a little bit of that today as we go through this concept. So I want you to think for me, if you resonated with anything I just mentioned in terms of overthinking. You might feel like your mind is running its own improv show. And if you don't know what improv is, it is the art form of pretending. It is the art form of making up something on the spot in the moment to the stimulus of one's environment and inner feelings. And the environment around them really dictates what comes out of that improv scene. But if your mind is running your own independent improv show, and it's throwing out too many ideas and has no clear direction, we got to stop that scene from happening. We're hitting pause on that chaos. We're simplifying the script. So one thing that we say in improv to move scenes forward is this concept of yes and. Yes and means, yes, I hear you, and I'm going to add something to it. And yes and allows us to not overthink. That's how we move scenes forward in improv. The same goes for setting your intentions. We're going to embrace what's doable and we're going to build from there. So let's just start off with why overthinking exists, what drives it, how it shows up, and how it impacts your leadership and your life. So what drives overthinking? In improv, we have to make split-second decisions, and overthinking or overspeaking kills the scene. So if you ever have watched an improv show and you see one of the scene partners on stage just continuously talking and talking and talking and talking, it's because they're trying to ruminate on an idea. But we have something called the economy of words, which means less is better. Keep it simple, silly, that acronym KISS, which means keep thoughts and words to a minimum so you can share the stage. Don't overthink and overcommunicate so your team has to catch up. Share the stage, let go, and simplify. When we overthink in life, this kills the momentum we have on ideas. It stifles innovation. It stifles collaboration. So, a lot of times, and if you're listening to this show, you're a people person. We as people leaders really care about the people that we're leading. And sometimes, because we care so much, we want things to be perfect, recovering perfectionism, and we care a lot about these people. So we want to make sure that they're happy, people pleasing. It's actually stifling. Not only to the people around us and the people we're leading, but to us as human beings. This overthinking squashes momentum. It squashes the plans from taking place. It's like being in an improv show and you're rehearsing the perfect line or the outcome in your head, but life like improv doesn't follow your script. So then we try to control and we overcorrect overthinking by overcontrolling. Sound familiar, my friends? So I want you to think about what drives you when it comes to overthinking. Why do you overthink? What is the reason that you are being plagued with perfectionism? I'll tell you my own reason and how overthinking shows up for me. Overthinking shows up for me in situations where, let's say I'm working with a client and they have a specific budget in mind and they want me to come down off my budget and meet their needs. I overthink and I overthink when I know what the answer is. I have a fee for a reason. We've set these prices for a reason. You don't walk in Chipotle and tell them I'm going to have that full burrito for half the price. I'm a trained speaker. I'm a trained improviser. I know that that fee makes me feel comfortable stepping out on that stage, accepting that agreement, shaking hands with that company to do work because they're honoring my art and I'm honoring them by giving them 120% of my attention and time. So I tend to overthink in those scenarios because I tend to think, oh, well, this would be such a great client. This would be such a fun opportunity. This would be such an awesome thing. I really like this person. I hope if I go back and push back, they don't dislike me. But what happens there is I start to dislike myself if I agree to their terms. So that overthinking actually allows me to ruminate and ruminate and ruminate on that problem. And it doesn't allow me to get anywhere. Instead of just saying, my fee is my fee for a reason, and I'm going to honor all of my paying clients by giving this fee to you at the same fair price. It shows up for me by letting myself get into a tizzy, by allowing myself to take energy and time to get upset by this negotiation. And so for me, it impacts my leadership and my life because it makes me hesitant. It makes me not confident. It makes me not as confident in leading my team. It makes my team not as confident because they have a leader who's shaky. So I want you to really think about why you overthink. And I know my reason why I overthink in these types of scenarios. It's because I want the business. And I know that I want that person to like me, which is a deep-rooted childhood wound, which we won't get into on this episode. But I really want you to think about the problem, why you overthink, and how that shows up for you in your life. Because I have solutions. And I tell you all of this because these solutions are going to help you simplify how you set intentions and how you set intentions moving forward. So step one, here it is. You're going to start with your why. For example, in an improv scene, we always ask, what's the game? What's the big idea driving this moment? Find the game in your intention. What is the purpose behind it? So for me, I am setting intentions this year of standing in my power. I am teaching you what I need to learn right now. I'm literally setting an intention of standing in my power and knowing that I have an energy and I have experience and I have a fee for a reason. So I'm going to stand in that power. Why am I standing in that power? So I feel good every time I step on a stage and interact with an audience that my rate is being honored. I feel good shaking hands with a client and saying yes to this commitment and feeling good knowing that that commitment was easy. It was lucrative. It was fun. And I know my why because I want to make sure that I know that I'm worth it. I also want to prove not only to myself, but to my team, that we are amazing, that we have things to give this earth, that we have people to serve and the energy and the expertise behind it to do it. That's my why. I want you to ask yourself, as you think about your intentions for the year ahead, what is your why? Think about an intention that you have coming up this year. Think about something that you set as either a resolution or a goal for 2025. And if your life was a play, what would you want the main character to accomplish in this act? What would you want this main character to accomplish in this act? For me, it's really understanding and standing strong in my power, that I have a creative force here on this earth for good, and that my fee reflects that. And my main character energy is standing strong in her power, is elevating audiences and people and helping them reach the highest version of themselves through play. That's really my ultimate why, because if I am paid the full fee that I deserve, then I can get out in front of that audience and give them everything I've got. And there's a lot to give. And in that moment, I'm feeling strong in my conviction. I know I'm being paid fairly for what I'm here to do. And I know that I have things that can help and benefit that audience that can impact them in that moment and impact them for months and weeks and years to come. That is my why. What is yours? If your life were a play, what would you want the main character to accomplish in this act? Step two, how you're going to simplify your intentions, you're going to choose 1 to 3 focus areas. So what happens on the improv stage, if we have too many ideas and too many things going on at the same time, we start to lose focus. You got too many goals in life, same result. You have to stick to one clear idea per scene. So choose 1 to 3 intentions that you want to focus on this year, not 5 to 10. 1 to 3 clear intentions. And once you accomplish those intentions and those intentions are in motion, you can add more. But we also get analysis paralysis, as I mentioned at the top of the show, when we have too many things, we have too many plates spinning. So I want you to think of your focus areas as improv games. What's your game for work? What's your game for health? What's your game for relationships? And come up with an intention for each area of your life. So, for example, what is my intention/game for work? I'm going to stand in my power in 2025. What is my intention for my health? Y'all, I have been on this kick. I've been working with this app called Noom. This is not a paid advertisement. Literally don't know a single person there. But I have been wanting to just feel good. I've made feeling good my goal. And so this app tracks my steps. It tracks my water intake. It tracks my food intake. And it allows me to just remind myself that my feeling, my existence on this earth could be pure joy. And if I feel joy, then I've got more joy to give to my family, to you, to my team, to our clients, to our audiences. So that's my focus area for health. I'm feeling good. That's my game. And then for relationships, I really want to focus on meaningful interactions. And I've been doing this for years now, but I prioritize a date night with my husband once a month. And my therapist is like, okay, you need more than once a month. I'm like, but you don't know my five-year-old. But once a month, we do something intentional, just the two of us. We schedule a sitter. We have this amazing night just where we can sit and relax and talk and just be together. And so my focus area is still and will always be that date night. And I hold it in high regard. We have not missed one in 3 years. And it's just time for us to reflect and be together and just be the two of us, which is what started all this. So focus areas. Focus on your life. And focus on three things, three areas that you want to improve and set an intention for each one. Step three. I've talked about this on this show before, making SMART but flexible goals. So SMART is an acronym, and it's, let me make sure I get this right. SMART means specific, measured, achievable, timely. What's the R deal? Hold on. You're going to get it. What is the R? I cannot remember this, y'all. This is like relevant, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. There you go. Okay. So just so you know, as a podcast host, I never edit when I make mistakes. This is real life. So you're with me. And sometimes I forget acronyms. So just making your goals SMART but flexible. Because on the improv stage, sometimes the best scenes, not sometimes, the best scenes on an improv stage have structure. There's actually a lot of form that goes into improv. And that's what we learn are these forms and these structures that help you see those beautiful made up scenes come to life on stage. They are really made up in real time. But so improv, we have that structure, but the players stay flexible. If a curveball comes into the scene, adapt. Your intentions can work the same way. If your goal at work was to connect with your team more, but your calendar is packed, try a quick daily check-in instead of a long meeting. Make them attainable, but make them flexible. You don't have to do it all. Just do a little bit every single day. So keep your goals SMART, but flexible. Step four. I love this one. This is how we're going to simplify our intentions in 2025. You're going to break down those intentions into micro actions. Now, from an improv perspective, an improv, our scenes are literally built line by line. So I bring a brick to the scene. My scene partner brings a brick to the scene. My other scene partner brings a brick. Then I bring a brick. And it keeps going until collectively we've built this beautiful house. Brick is a metaphor for words. So we are literally building scenes line by line, action by action. You don't deliver a punchline without first setting it up. And so in a really good improv scene, I might say a line and then Christy might come in and say a line and then I might say a line. And then what I have done with my line is set Christy up for the best punchline ever. So it's about making the ensemble look good. It's not about making you look good at all costs. So here's your takeaway as we talk about intention setting. I want you to start small. If maybe your health intention was better self-care, your first step might be setting a daily 5-minute timer to breathe or to meditate or to stretch. That is intentional time for self-care. So that micro action over time leads up to a built habit over time. And over time, you can turn that 5 minutes into 10 minutes, into 15 minutes. But if you start off with these macro actions and say, oh man, I really want better self-care, I'm going to do a 20-minute meditation every single morning for the entire year, you're setting yourself up to fail because you've never done 20 minutes of meditating. You've never even done 5 minutes of meditating every morning. So starting small and adapting and growing into macro actions from micro actions is the way to go. Now, I want to give you some reflection over this entire process, because what I gave you were these amazing 4 steps to simplifying your intentions. Mindset is key here, my friends. I want to remind you, as a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser, it is progress over perfection. So from improv, giant stage. I want you to know this. No one nails the perfect scene every single time. Literally, I have probably bombed more shows than have been successful. But what improv is all about is about showing up, playing the game, and learning as you go. I had to have those really sucky scenes and those really sucky shows in order to learn the craft, to get better, and to learn over time to have those really successful shows. Now, I literally want to share with you a story that I had where good enough led to surprising success. I will tell you, the very beginning of my improv journey was extremely rough. I was voted class clown in my high school. Let me just say that. Because we had this big show called Vaudeville where we wrote sketches, and I was this really big sketch character every year in Vaudeville. And I also was pretty silly, as you hear on this show, but everything I did came with a script. Put me in front of a room of people, and I'm thinking, I'm going to make you laugh immediately. My goal is to make the punchline, make the joke, make you laugh, and boom, I'm done. That's not how improv works. Absolutely incorrect. If you want to be the star of the show, you got to get out of the show. So I learned the hard way through teachers yelling at me, through audiences sort of walking away, to literally doing one of the most embarrassing shows of my entire life in front of my now husband, boyfriend at the time, and a few of the other people in the ensemble's partners that were with him, which was recorded, by the way. This improv show was so embarrassing, and our coach recorded it and then made us watch it back to see how never to do improv like that ever again. It was so bad. It was so bad. This is about 13 years ago now at this point, but it was really bad. So what I learned from that show was how never to do improv like that. I took a suggestion from the audience very literally, okay? And I'll just tell you what it was so you're not guessing. The suggestion from the audience was sex. Could I have gone gender? Could I have talked about gender? Could I have done that, Erin? I could have, but I didn't. I went the literal version, and it got really awkward really quick. So just so you know where we're starting from, ground zero. So from there, I started doing improv differently. I started playing to the top of my intelligence. I started to be a smarter performer and using themes from my everyday life and incorporating them into characters and really yes-anding and listening to my scene partners. And I'll never forget it. About a year after that show, the worst performance of my life, I auditioned for an ensemble, which actually introduced me to a lot of the team members at Improv It. But I thought to myself, you know what? I'm just going to go and I'm going to have a great time. There's no agenda here. I hope I get on this ensemble, but you know what? For me, all I really want to do is have fun. And I'm not going to try to be perfect. I'm just going to try to be good enough. I'm just going to be good enough, and I'm going to have fun and make that my goal. What happened in that audition was a transformative performance for me. Because my goal was literally to have fun, I was good enough. And I made this ensemble. Not only did I make the ensemble, But I also became a producer and a creator and a director at this theater. And I created, directed, and starred in a show. It was called Will You Accept This Rose? An improvised parody of The Bachelor, my friends, for a year. And it's actually what allowed me to meet our very first full-time hire, our director of operations, Allie Keller. She was with us for 5 glorious years. And here at Improve It, but we ran a show together and we actually had C-list celebrities from The Bachelor come and I would interview them as Christina Harrison, the host, and we would use their stories to create improvised scenes. And we basically created a format that was beautiful and fun to watch and resulted in a final rose ceremony and people getting voted off every single night. We had sold out shows. We had people fly in to be guests on this. So that being good enough at that audition led me to surprising success as a producer, director, creator, and really got my creative wheel spinning. But it was from that failure that I learned so much. And it was in that learning that I learned that I just really did this art form to have fun. And it took me places I could have never imagined. So remember progress over perfection and just allow yourself to have those really crappy moments. The other thing I want to keep in mind for you is to celebrate small wins. In improv, we celebrate even the smallest laugh or breakthrough. It keeps the energy high. I want you to apply that to your intentions. I got to tell you, Christy, our director of talent, and I did a workshop in my hometown of Charleston, South Carolina in November of 2024. And it was the best energy. Like, I can't even tell you, the room just felt so full. And anytime she said something, the room would just laugh. It literally sounded like a laugh track, like one of those laugh tracks that you pay to put on infomercials or sitcoms. It was awesome. And she said, you know, we had a little break and people were doing a partner activity. She goes, Erin, I feel like there's like a laugh track in here. Like somebody should record it. Everything I say, they think's hilarious. And I was like, yeah, they do. And I was like, high five. Yes, this is what we want. This is the energy that we hope to bring to every session. So celebrate the smallest wins, the smallest laughs, the smallest audience applauses, and celebrate them. Did you stick to one small action today? One of your micro intentions? Because if you did, take a bow, you're crushing it. I want you to remember that as you go through the year with the intentions that you're setting. And then I want us to really think about overcoming overthinking, but in real time. And I've got an improv exercise for you when you feel stuck. So when you start to overthink, when you start to go down this sort of shame spiral of, oh, I set this intention with my health and it's not working, or, oh, I wanted to have more intentional time with my team at work and it's not working, or, oh, I let go of that fee again and I dropped it again, and you start to really ruminate and have self-doubt, you're going to do something that we use every single time in a scene when it's not going the way we want it to in a rehearsal. It's called new choice, and you're going to use it and you're going to apply it in your life. This activity is in my book, I See You. I do this activity with keynote audiences all over the world. It's so tried and true. Let me teach it to you here and now. So when you start to doubt yourself and you start to overthink, you're going to clap. That's step one, and tell yourself new choice. Okay, that clap is a pattern disruption. It disrupts your brain going in that negative shame spiral. Step two, you are going to forgive yourself because you are a human being. You're a soul having a human experience in the body that you were given, and everyone overthinks. Step three, you are going to give yourself a new choice. So instead of going down that spiral and getting those mental blocks and limiting beliefs in our heads, we are going to stop, clap with new choice, forgive, and then reframe. That is step three. So let's just say for myself, one of my intentions was I want to feel good, which means moving my body, drinking water, and making sure the foods that I eat are great nutrients for myself. And I look at my scale that morning and I'm like, oh, well, you know what, Erin? Which, by the way, I did not weigh myself for like 3 years. And it was really fun. And I had a great life and I was pretty healthy. I felt good. I was like, my pants fit great. But I really wanted to be intentional about what I was putting in my body. And I know that the scale is a metric that can show me that. So I am weighing myself again. So for example, this morning in particular, I stepped on it and it wasn't appealing. Definitely had a lot of oven-baked fries last night. And let me just tell you, I love a fry. And so I was a little upset this morning. And so new choice, I forgive myself. Erin, you ate those oven-baked fries like a champ. You have never met a potato, especially a fried one, that you did not like. Let yourself live and enjoy the French fries, girl. Next time, dip them in ketchup, some aioli, and maybe a ranch dressing. I only used mustard. So that's how you use new choice. You can use it with any intention you set and anytime you start to go down that fear shame spiral, my friend. I promise you it works. It really works. That reframe, that forgiveness is what it's all about. So let me recap everything we talked about. You have gotten so much information. You now know what drives your overthinking. You have thought about it. You know why you overthink and how it shows up in your life. Here's how you're going to simplify and stop overthinking with your intentions. You're going to start with your why. What's the purpose behind it? What's that main character energy and what is that main character going to accomplish? You're going to step two, choose 1 to 3 focus areas. So think of your focus areas as improv games. What is your game for work, for health, for relationships? You could also have games if you want different areas for your home. You could have games for your career goals. You could have games for your creativity, but don't go overboard. Just give yourself 1 to 3 focus areas. Step 3, make them smart but flexible. As the example went, if your goal was for work to connect with your team more and your intention was, I want to connect with my team more this year, but you got a jam-packed day, just do a quick daily 10-minute check-in instead of an hour-long meeting. 10 minutes goes a long way. Step 4, you're then going to break it down into micro actions. Don't start meditating 20 minutes. Start meditating at 5 minutes. Start small and add as you go. Remember, my friends, progress over perfection. Celebrate those small wins. Use new choice to overcome that overthinking in real time. But I want to remind you of a couple things. Like a great improv scene, setting intentions is about clarity. It's about adaptability, and it's about taking action in the moment. I want you to remember this. This rule from the improv stage is something I have preached for forever on the show. There are no mistakes in improv. There are only gifts. There are only opportunities to learn and pivot. I want you to treat your intentions the same way. So here's your homework. You are going to try an improv-inspired approach. I want you to pick 1 intention that you are going to start with, 1 intention for the year. Could be in any of those buckets, work, relationships, health, career. It could be soul, mind, mindfulness, whatever it is. And you are going to take the first small step toward it today. You're not going to overthink it. You're going to start. I want to hear from you and see how you are using this, my friends, because overthinking keeps us in our heads, but action moves us forward. Simplifying your intentions isn't about doing less. It's about doing what matters most. So take 1 intention, break it down into the simplest, smallest action you can take. Maybe it's sending an email or making a 5-minute plan, or maybe it's just writing down your why. Whatever it is, I want you to start small, start now, and trust that clarity will come with action. Because just like on the improv stage, the magic happens when you take the leap and take the first step. So share your intention. Share it with me. Let me hear from you. Tag me on social. send me an email at info@learntoimproveit.com or a note on SpeakPipe, which you can find in our show notes. Let's keep each other accountable because this year is all about progress over perfection, my friends. Now, remember, you don't need the perfect plan. You just need the courage to begin. Let's simplify and start moving. You know what I'm going to say. Keep failing, improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I will see you next time.
Podcast.